Good afternoon, folks. On my left here is Eddie Kurtzeal. He's the owner of this aircraft, and this is the EA Grand Champion of 2002. Next to him is Steve McIntosh, and he's from the Canadian Warplane Museum in Hamilton, Ontario. And next to him is Andy Dobson. Steve is he's a pilot also, and he's flown a lot of different airplanes that they have in the museum, including the Firefly. Andy is also from the museum. He's an active airline pilot, 787. He was retired from the RCAF, and he's currently, don't have their airplane here. They're having maintenance issues right now, but they hope to have it next year. First of all, Andy, what's the mission purpose of this airplane? Why was it designed?
The airplane was designed as a long-range reconnaissance fighter. So a lot of people think it's a torpedo plane. That people, my friends that beat me up over this, but it really is a long-range fighter. So if you look at the airplane, when it was originally designed, it was a Mark I and Mark II. This is a Mark V, so there's a 4, 5, and 6. They look about the same. And the way this airplane is, the right pod was a radar, and so the guy in the back ran the radar and was also a navigator. So they did long-range reconnaissance, long flights over the water. So that's what the guy in the back did. Everybody asked if he was a gunner. He never was. And the airplane is really quite maneuverable. In fact, it has I ran the flaps through for you. That first position that you see, which is called cruise, the flaps come out like a biplane, parallel to the wings. The airplane even shot down a bunch of Oscars on the way to Japan. So that's what the airplane was designed as. And then as it aged, they turned it into a ground attack airplane, and that's what you see right here. And this is the way the airplane was painted when it was in Korea, and then it became an anti-submarine warfare aircraft after that, and it got replaced by the U.S. was using the TBM at the time, and the Brits ended up using the ferry Gannet. And if you guys have been coming to Oshkosh for a long time, and that's a turbine thing with it's another ferry product, which is a really weird, you know, the wings fold up and everything.
Now, out of 1,702 produced, how many are still flying?
There are two right now. It's this airplane and the Canadian Warplane Heritage Airplane.
And yours is close to being flying, is that correct? Okay, well, tell us about the restoration process of your airplane, where you got it, and you don't have to tell us the money, but and then, you know, the specifications and how's it configured now, and also the paint scheme.
This airplane, I originally saw a picture of this. I don't want to date myself, but it was in Flying Magazine. It was March or April of 1974. And I just remember it on the cover. And I mean, it was the coolest thing ever. I go, that is a really cool airplane. And that was a Canadian airplane. And that came here to Oshkosh. And I don't remember ever seeing it fly, but I actually saw the Royal Navy had an airplane in their historic flight that flew in England. And I saw that airplane fly, but that airplane crashed. And both guys were tragically killed. And those were flown by the reserves. This airplane was sold at auction in 1965. So what happened was this airplane served in the Royal Australian Navy. It was delivered in 1950. And I have a little signboard. You guys can come out afterwards and take a look at it. And then airplane flew until, I think, 56 or 57. Then they converted the airplane into a target towing airplane. So it had a tow package on the bottom of it. The only thing I left on the airplane that's from that era, there's like a little chute on the back, and that's where they used to push the banner out, and that was towed 3,000 feet behind this airplane, and the ships would shoot at it. So, yeah, guys told me the guns were radar guided. Sometimes they'd lock onto the wire and start climbing their way up towards the airplane. So then that airplane as a target tug was operated by a private company called Brown and Brain, and they sold the airplanes at auction in 1965. A town called Griffith, New South Wales, which is like 4 hours west of Sydney. It's in a very agriculture area. It's kind of like Bakersfield, so it's really hot and dry. They bought the airplane for $400. They got somebody to donate the fuel. They flew the airplane to Griffith, and they put it up on a pole, and it stayed up there for like 40 years. And so it was just a big birdhouse. There was another Firefly flying in Australia that a guy had restored, and that airplane crashed. And so when it crashed, it broke its back, and they said, well, we can't restore it. It's going to cost too much money. So the people that I got the airplane from, I saw an ad in Trade-A-Plane. You guys shouldn't read that newspaper, as you know. And it's 60% restored Firefly, right? That's what it said. I said, oh, this would be so cool to have this in it. I'll just get it to fly. And so basically they were the ones that negotiated with the town for 2 years to take it off the pole. And the town said, well, you can't take all of it because it's a historic landmark. This airplane flew in Korea, you know, so you can have the body, but you can't take the wings or the tail. So this is the wings and the tail off of 828 and the body off of the one that was on the pole. We figured, well, the serial number follows WB518, and that's the airplane that was on the pole. And the wings and the tail are actually, I don't even know if they're off of 828. We don't know what they came from, because if you look at the serial numbers and the dates, one wing is 1951, the other wing is 1948, the tail is 1946. So I think anytime the airplanes came aboard ship and they were damaged, they would just take parts out of stores and just repair the airplane. So we figured the serial number follows the fuselage. So this is WB518. And so this is 45,000 man hours restoration. It was restored from, I bought the airplane in 94. I first saw it in Trade a Plane in 1993. And out here in the audience, I have to recognize a guy because I'm just Jacques' custodian. And out here in the audience is Tim Freeze. Tim, if you'll stand up. He started when he was like 12 working on this thing. I won't tell you how old he is now, but he's the one that basically built this whole airplane in QG Aviation of America out in Fort Collins in Colorado. So that's who did the airplane, and that's what you see now.
Okay, how about the paint job?
Paint job was done by Ron Maley.
What does it represent? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, represents Korea. This is exactly how this airplane was painted. It was the CO of the squadron's airplane. So with the blue spinner, that's the significance of the blue spinner. The rest of the airplanes had gray, one of the other squadron, you know, so you could always identify the CO. They may have had a red spinner or something like that. So, but that's what this is exactly the way it was painted in Korea. And you have to remember it's a ground attack airplane. So this carried either two 1,000-pound bombs or 16 60-pound warhead rockets that were, you can see underneath where they mount just about underneath the guns. And the guns are four Hispano Mark V 20-millimeter cannons.
Now, in the other variants, it was a torpedo bomber?
No, it was a torpedo bomber. I said, that's what my friends give me a hard time about. But no, it's... no.
So
it's,
that was the armament right there that
you just
mentioned.
That's the armament. That's correct.
Well, how does the airplane fly? I mean, you got a lot of time in it.
I mean, yeah, I've got about almost 400 hours in the airplane. It is... I mean, it's a big machine. It's like what you see. I mean, all up gross weight is 16,100 pounds. So if you look at a... You guys are familiar with PC-12s. A PC-12... fully loaded weighs what this does empty. So, I mean, it's a big airplane, and you do not want to get the airplane slow. I mean, it flies kind of like an underpowered jet. That's what if you come through the 90, you're doing maybe 120 knots and slow. They brought it aboard the ship in the 90s, 90 knots, you know, 92, 93 knots when it came aboard ship. The problem with that is you're kind of on the backside of the power curve, and if you look at the prop, it turns the wrong way. So it's a ton of left rudder, and I mean it's uncomfortable when you're bringing the throttle up. So I typically wheel land the airplane, and it's with the maneuvering flaps down, like I showed you, the cruise flaps, when they're in that position, the airplane could outturn the zero. And the airplane was tested at Pax River. They brought all kinds of Allied airplanes back at the end of the war, and there's a bunch of test reports that I found, and it described the whole airplane and how well the thing maneuvered. So,
what kind of range do you have in it?
With the drop tanks that are on here now, the lowest you can get the fuel burn down to in U.S. gallons, because it's all Imperials, just under 2 gallons a minute. If you're flying an air show, about 4 gallons a minute. So once the drop tanks are gone, the main fuel gauge, they feed immediately into the main tank. You don't really have a quantity indication for the drop tanks, but when it starts burning out of the main tank fuel gauge is just like a clock. So, I mean, that's gallons, and you go, that's how many minutes I have left. And it's
when,
like,
you're across country, what are you?
Yeah, about 2 hours. So, you know, 400 miles, 200, 220 knots we did coming out here. That's flying at max range, which is 160 knots indicated. I mean, in level flight, you can do, without the tanks, probably 330 indicated to be top speed. And then going downhill, red line's 380 knots.
Well, any particular quirks about it?
It's a pretty honest airplane. It's just a big machine. I mean, that's the one thing you have to realize. It's heavy. The wings are pretty heavily loaded. And for a fighter, you know, I mean, it does aerobatics and everything, but you just don't want to get slow in it. I think that's what killed the Royal Navy airplane. And the two guys that were in it at an air show. So,
Steve, what? Tell us a little bit about your museum, a little history of your museum.
Well, it was started by Dennis Bradley and a few others back in 71, I think. But the first airplane was a Firefly. And I think the original intention was to use it as a racer for Reno. And it was soon discovered it wasn't really practical to do that. But they started collecting more airplanes. They got a Harvard, a Chipmunk, and a few other airplanes started to add. But by the 80s, it was a fairly going concern, and we had acquired a Lancaster, which is now the queen of our fleet. I think it first flew back in 1989. And we continue to add more airplanes, so it's actually more of a world-class museum now.
How about the history of the airplane, the Firefly that you have up there you're working on now?
Well, the original aircraft that started the Warplane Heritage Museum in Hamilton was a Firefly. Unfortunately, it was lost in 1977 at Toronto International Air Show. But in 1979, we were able to acquire in Australia another Mark VI Firefly and brought that back to Canada. It had a long-term restoration project out in Victoria, British Columbia, and finally got back to the museum almost 20 years after the original one was lost in 1997.